The scripture reading today is Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the immortal words of Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Today we are asking that exact question. What's love got to do with it? The word love is one of the most used words in the English language, with many meanings and often many emotions tied to it. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, there are 13 different definitions of love, 9 as a noun and 4 as a verb. You can love your spouse, you can love your parents, you can love your best friend, you can love pizza, you can love the color blue, and you can love God. And probably all in different ways of love and with different emotions tied to it. And speaking of emotions, there are a lot of emotions that can be tied to love. Joy, happiness, passion, anger, desire, longing, and so many others. And with all of that combined, the word love quickly can become confusing. What exactly do you mean this time? And the Bible is the same way. The word love appears 538 times in the NRSV translation of the Bible. In Greek, which was the original language of the New Testament, there are 6 different words for love. The 6 different words for love are eros, which is a fiery, passionate love, philia, which is a deep friendship, ludus, which is a playful love, pragma, or a long-standing love, phleusia, or self-love, and finally, agape, or love for everyone. And throughout the Bible and biblical writings, all 6 words for love can be found in various different forms, but only one of these words for love is ever tied to God, and that's agape. Agape is true selfless love without strings or conditions. Looking at the passage from Romans 5 that Chris read, verse 5 says, "Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." The word here for love is agape. So it could also be said that God's selfless, unconditional love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this reading is perfect for this week because last week on Pentecost Sunday, we saw the arrival of the Holy Spirit. God as a Spirit here to guide us on our journey. And now we get a glimpse into the gift that is the Holy Spirit, who has come here pouring this agape love into our hearts. My second reading for this morning can be found in the letters of John. And here we find more information about that love that we're receiving from God. The letters of John, most often attributed to St. John the Apostle, who was a disciple of Jesus, is part of the New Testament that is typically referred to as the Catholic letters, or simply the letters. Along with letters from Peter, James, and Jude, the authors are addressing issues of the early church. In this time, there's a lot of false prophets and a lot of different things that are pulling people away from the original message of God and kind of starting to confuse the message. And so I often think of this part of the Bible kind of as a refresher course. The authors of these letters are often basically like, yeah, you remember when Christ was talking about this? Here's a little bit more detail, and yeah, we should be doing that. And so it's kind of like a refresher course in tying back to the original gospel message. So here in chapter 4 in the first letter of John, we find instructions on how to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, let us look at 1 John 4. And I will be reading verses 7 through 13. The author writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. For God is love. Today is Trinity Sunday. And on this Sunday every year, we take the time to remember that in many ways, God is beyond our understanding. In most of the time, the best word that we can use to describe our God is triune God, which literally means God in three parts. God is both one and three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For many Christians, this is both core to our belief and at the same time one of the most confusing parts of our faith, because our brain just simply says, how can one equal three? Many authors, believers, and even clergy are often left with the task of explaining how this can be. As I was thinking about this, I often think about it like this. God is one God with three parts. We all have different aspects of our life that make up who we are. Different titles, different hats that we wear, different buckets we fall into, and yet we are still one person. I kind of like to think of God kind of the same way. While God is one God, God is also God, who is the author, the creator, Jesus, the Son who came to live among us, Emmanuel, God with us, and then finally, the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, our advocate. Together, they are both separate and connected as one God. One of my favorite artistic representations of this concept can be found in W.M. Paul Young's book, The Shack. If you are unfamiliar with this book, I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic read. But in this book, Mackenzie, or Mac, whose daughter Missy was abducted during a family vacation and murdered in a shack deep in the woods of the Oregon wilderness. The whole family, but especially Mackenzie, falls into a great sadness that begins to consume their lives and take over their relationships and begins to tear them apart from the inside. Several years later, he receives a note written by Papa, who is his family's name for God. In this note, Papa is inviting him to the shack for the weekend. After a lot of skepticism, and rightly so, he arrives at the shack full of grief and pain. But then he meets God. And not only God, but all of God. In three separate forms, Papa, the Son, and Sariu, the Spirit. As discussions through this book progress, you see the immense love of God. One of my favorite parts of the book happens after dinner the first night, when Papa insists that Mac and Jesus spend some time together on the dock by the lake. As they lay under the stars, a discussion occurs, which I think perfectly frames my understanding of the Holy Trinity in the immense scope of God's love. I'd like to read that portion of the book for you. And again, I'm going to be reading from W.M. Paul Young's The Shack. After a particularly long silence, Max spoke. "I feel more comfortable around you. You seem so different from the other two." "How do you mean different?" came Jesus' soft voice out of the darkness. "Well," Mac paused as he thought about it, "more real or tangible. I don't know." He struggled with the words, and Jesus lay quietly waiting. "It's like I've always known you." "But Papa isn't at all what I expected from God. And Sariu, she's way out there." Jesus chuckled in the dark. "Since I am human, we have much more in common to begin with." "But I still don't understand. I am the best way any human can relate to Papa or Sariu. To see me is to see them. The love you sense from me is no different from how they love you. And believe me, Papa and Sariu are just as real as I am, though as you've seen in far different ways." "Speaking of Sariu, is she the Holy Spirit?" "Yes. She is creativity. She is action. She is the breathing of life. She is much more. She is my spirit." "And her name, Sariu?" "That is a simple name from one of our human languages. It means wind, or a common wind. She loves that name." "Hmm," grunted Mac. "Nothing too common about her." "True that," responded Jesus. "But the name Papa mentioned, Eloisa, the voice said reverently from the dark next to him, "That is a wonderful name. El is my name, the creator, and Uiza is being, or that which is truly real. So the name means the creator God who is truly real and the ground of all being. Now that is a beautiful name." There was a silence for a minute while Mac pondered what Jesus had said. "So then where does that leave us?" He felt as if he were asking the question for the entire human race. "Right where you always were always intended to be, in the very center of our love and our purpose." In John's letter that we read, in verse 11 and 12, it quite simply says, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." These verses make two very important points. First, now that we have this love from God, this agape love, we are to love one another. We are to share it, not keep it for ourselves. Second important thing, it doesn't say since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another except for these people, or unless they do this, or unless they don't do this. There's no stipulations on this sentence. It literally says, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another, period. End of sentence. This love of God is without conditions or stipulations, and we are called to love one another the same way. And that is where we're being called by God, all of God, to this morning. To love. So the question is, how do we as the church love one another without reason or without condition? How do we live in an agape world? How do we leave this building and let this agape love shine through us to everyone we meet? I want you to think about that for a moment. How would our world look differently with more love? I want to end with a portion of a sermon by Bishop Michael Curry that I hope pulls all of this together. There is something right about it, love. And there's a reason for it. The reason has to do with the source. We are made by a power of love, and our lives were meant and are meant to be lived in that love. That's why we are here. There's power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There's power in love to show us the way to live. Think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. Imagine this tired old world where love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, there's plenty of good room. Plenty of good room for all of God's children. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are called this morning to love one another. And we are reminded that all of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are calling us in this direction to go out into the world and to share this love, not to keep it for ourselves, but to let it shine through us. God, as we leave this place this morning, may we go out into this world and may this love radiate from each and every one of us to every person that we meet. Amen.